Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And we're back. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD and iHeart and a lot of other places. Thank you for downloading us. Hopefully you'll rate us because we have a wonderful guest today. Rick Shapiro has a book that epitomizes what I was taught in medical school in the first lecture we ever had. A guy named Jay Dumphy, who is chief of surgery, said, whatever you do, don't take away hope from patients. Hope helps cure people. And his book is Hope Never Dies, is really a monument to the value of hope and what he has done to investigate it. I'm going to let Mr. Shapiro, he's actually a lawyer, not a physician, unusual for this podcast, I know, but he has written this Hope Never Dies book, which is really has about 20 interviews with people who had severe and life threatening, if you will, life ending cancer diagnoses, except they didn't. That is, they survived it despite what everyone else thought would happen to them. And he interviewed them. He also interviewed five people in what you would call the hope business of cancer therapies, all of those alternative and complementary things that many people believe help you gain your immune system back. And instead of having a life-threatening disease, your immune system responds, attacks the cancer, and eradicates it. But it all starts with your attitude, maybe, and we'll find that out from Rick Shapiro. Rick, if I can call you that, it's Rick Shapiro, who wrote Hope Never Dies, available on Amazon and a lot of other places. But Rick, I know that it was a personal or a family issue that got you into this. And I want you to explain that in a little bit. But first, I want you to explain what was the deciding factor when you started interviewing people and found this common thread? How did that strike you?
It's been a great and interesting journey. I found a lot of people who were given terminal cancer diagnoses, literally terminal cancer diagnoses with short time frames, 3 weeks to 6 weeks, 3 months to 6 months, 6 months to 9 months. In fact, out of the 20 people I interviewed, most of them were given 1 year or less to live. 18 out of 20, by the way, are still alive 10 to 25 years later, and two are still alive 5 to 10 years later. They're all thriving with all kinds of challenging cancers. In terms of common threads, if you will, one thing that was foundational, I found, and prevalent among all cancer thrivers, was having that never-quit attitude, having that attitude that was not fully laden with anxiety and high stress. Certainly when somebody is given a cancer diagnosis or a terminal or late-stage prognosis, it's very frightening, and it's certainly understandable if people just essentially freak out and go into a depression or anxiety, stress-ridden state. But these people, all of them, said, you know what, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be some other things out there, whether they be integrative therapies, whether they be complementary therapies, or other things besides strictly the standard of care that can help me. So that foundational base was critical. With respect to other things that these cancer patients did, it really varied. It's not just one size fits all. It's not just one particular protocol that has gotten them to this fantastic point of surviving late stage and terminal cancer. Some of the other prevalent things, however, including the mind-body aspect and the attitude, was nutrition. And when I say nutrition, I don't mean eat broccoli on Tuesdays and Thursdays and wild salmon on Fridays. But there are people around the country who have a highly sophisticated knowledge. Some of them are integrative oncologists. Some of them are just cancer specialists in nutrition as it pertains to oncology, who take it to a deep science. There are 27 million studies on PubMed, PubMed.gov, and many of them support the notion that certain types of nutrition, again, taken to a very deep science, can influence or alter one's cancer. In addition to nutrition, there are exercise regimens that can radically improve survival in terms of declining muscle mass.
Before we get into the specifics of what you found and the common threads, what I take it is you weren't surprised by this.
I was not surprised by this because of the research that I had done in PubMed.gov. And when I started talking to more and more people, and I had a particular situation happen to me in 2001 when a gastroenterologist said he wanted to do a biopsy on my liver because I had rapidly escalating liver enzymes. And after a CAT scan, an ultrasound, after a lot of blood work, he was concerned because my numbers were going through the roof.
You had a family member who had not had hope, meaning I think one of the keys that I take from your work is that the attitude, I'm going to beat this, I'm going to do what I can to find all the alternative therapies that I can to maybe help my immune system or whatever take better care of me, and to conquer the tumor, if you will, is the common thread. That is, it is hope, or it is, as you said, hope never dies. And that's a key component, is it not?
Yes, it is. Without hope, and I've talked to hundreds of people, hundreds of cancer patients regarding this issue, without hope, the challenge can be quite steep. So that's a fundamental concept that is absolutely critical. And along with the concept of hope, having that attitude, that no-quit attitude, to try and source and find particular integrative therapies and treatments that can help support the immune system and cytotoxically attack and go after the cancer as well. But that is absolutely critical, the hope concept.
Now, as someone outside medicine, and I'm going to ask you a weird question, then I want to come back to what led you to this in the first place in your family story, if I can. But what I took from part of this initially was that, in fact, a key component of this now is that we're analyzing the immune system in what we would call the organized medicine to a much higher degree, and that allows us to, in fact, attack the attackers or attack those things that the cancer is secreting that impede immune system functioning to get rid of the cancer. What's your thoughts on that? It seems to me that lifestyle changes are so important, as exhibited by your book, as exhibited by the exercise, stress management, nutrition, components, avoidance of toxins that you've mentioned. But in addition, we're learning how to help the immune system much more. Have you seen this? Because you're now meeting with a whole bunch of cancer groups and cancer support groups.
Well, are you talking about immunological studies, immunological therapies at this time, or other lifestyle things?
Right. In other words, we're developing much, much better immunologic therapies because what we're doing basically is we're learning how to prevent the immune system from inhibiting learning how to prevent the cancer from inhibiting the immune system.
Right, right. Well, of course, there are checkpoint inhibitors, monoclonal antibodies, there are re-engineered T cells, vaccines, and other types of immunological therapies that were at the dawn of that age, I believe. We've seen some progress there, and it's very promising. But I still think we have, in my discussions with oncologists, we still have a long way to go. With respect to the immune system as it pertains on the lifestyle side of things, whether it concerns evidence-based, and the word evidence-based means a lot of things, but evidence-based supplementation or nutritional or exercise or mind-body types of things, those things are also implemented to support the immune system, to enhance the activity of natural killer cells, T cells, and other factors to provide immunity. So it was interesting. I had a conversation with one of the doctors who I interviewed in the book, Dr. Dwight McKee, who is an integrative oncologist.
So we should say that the book, before you go anymore, let me just say the book is organized into 20 stories of these patients who survived despite these bad prognoses, and a series of interviews with the individuals five physicians who are oncologists who practice with what you would call integrative or lifestyle practices as key components of what they do. Is that not right?
In a nutshell, yes. The 20 stories of people who were told to get their affairs in order, essentially. And the five other MDs, one's a PhD, and one's a specialist in the cancer arena.
And so, and I'm going to ask you more about your discussion with Dr. McKee and with your motivation behind this, that is your family story, in just a second. Let's turn to learn who the sponsor for this part of the interview is.
More of the You, the Owner's Manual podcast with Dr. Mike Roizen coming up. But first, I want to tell you about Organifi. Organifi is an organic superfood supplement line that makes quality, trusted nutrition convenient and accessible. We all know green juice is good for us, but have any of you tried juicing? Not only does it cost a fortune, especially if you're shopping organic, but it is also very time-consuming. And that's why I opt for Organifi Green Juice, an organic superfood green juice powder that you just add to water and get your greens on the go. It helps me sustain energy all throughout the day. It's quick and easy nutrition on the go. And it's not just any green juice. Remember, it's organic, and I want you to try it out, all right? Go to Organifi.com, and we're going to save you 20% off by using the code YOU, that's Y-O-U, at checkout. Once again, try out Organifi Green Juice for 20% off using code YOU, Y-O-U, at checkout at Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. Now back to Dr. Michael Roizen and the You, the Owner's Manual podcast.
And we're back. We're talking to Rick Shapiro, the author, a lawyer, who is the author of this wonderful book called Hope Never Dies, about the success of people who've conquered what you might call end-stage cancer, 20 people, and then with five what you might call integrative oncologists, that is, five physicians who practice with a traditional medicine, that is, traditional oncology using the chemotherapy, radiation therapy, immune therapies, in the latest practice, but also combine that with integrative therapies and lifestyle changes that help people fight and their own immune system come back. And when we broke, Mr. Shapiro, we were talking about your conversation with Dwight McKee.
Yeah, Dwight, an integrative oncologist, felt, as we discussed this issue and as he discussed it back in his chapter, that immunology, we're at the dawn of that age and hopefully at the dusk of chemotherapeutic regimens. And he has used chemotherapy in certain cases, certainly. But he also feels very strongly that certain lifestyle-oriented changes can, combined with immunological treatments and therapies, have a tremendous effect in terms of either eradicating cancer, controlling cancer, or slowing its progression. Again, we're at the dawn of that age, but the combination of those things that you might call lifestyle, if you will, with the other standard of care therapies can be very, very profound, including in the immunology arena as well.
And now let's flip back to what probably started this whole thing and this adventure, which has led you to this, I think, important conclusion and really a wonderful book called Hope Never Dies, something that we're coming up on the gift-giving season, and this would be a really thoughtful gift to give families who have someone or a history of cancer in them. And by the way, I'm a strong believer in turning off the tap before rather than mopping the floor. So maybe everyone should read this as a Hope Never Dies, because it talks to you about lifestyles that are important for your immune system. And if you want to prevent cancer in your family, this is a great way of starting in addition to treating it. So what got you started on this, Rick?
In 1996, on March 29th, my father died of an aggressive lymphoma. Prior to that, he had breast cancer and he had prostate cancer. When my father died, I just asked a very basic question. That question was, why do some people beat the odds and are here 10, 15, 20 years later, while most people are not here? We always hear about that term, spontaneous remission and spontaneous regression. But I wanted to see if there were any common denominators between people who survived long-term past their so-called expiration date versus those who died when they were supposed to, based on the prognosis of many doctors and, of course, oncologists. So it was a curiosity, and I felt because cancer is such an insidious killer, and it's just almost neck and neck with heart disease in terms of it being the number one killer in this country, that there might be better ways to deal with, in addition to the standard of care. So that's what launched me into a lot of deep research on PubMed.gov regarding attending well over 20 cancer conferences around the country, collaborating with and discussing these issues with both conventional doctors, integrative doctors, and alternative practitioners. And it's just become a passion of mine to try and let people know that there are tools out there that they can implement and explore that certainly might help them when it comes to dealing with this terrible disease.
Now, one of the
that was my motivation
that you found was giving hope. What was was hope taken away from your father?
When my father was diagnosed with cancer, my father was gone 6 weeks later, 1.5 months. It was a highly aggressive cancer. And at that time in 1996, over 20 years ago, I didn't know anything about cancer. I just assumed when the doctor said, this is what you do, that's what you do. Chemo, radiation, and surgery, and nothing else. He was gone quickly. We were certainly hopeful, and my father had one cycle of chemotherapy. But when I saw the effects of that chemotherapy, and he was subject to it, he decided no more. Hope was extinguished rather quickly. And again, back in 1996, this is even before people were on the internet, and this is 20 years, science has evolved certainly, both in the integrative area, the conventional area, and the alternative area. But there wasn't a lot of hope because he was gone so quickly.
Let me thank you an awful lot for doing this book. The book is called Hope Never Dies. The author is Rick Shapiro. And let's leave the audience with what you would do were, God forbid, you to get a cancer now, Rick. What would be your steps in working through this? So let's take a couple minutes and do that, if you will, for the listening audience.
First thing I would do, if somebody told me this morning that I had a serious late-stage prognosis or even an early-stage prognosis, is breathe. You've got to just take a step backwards and don't let panic overtake this process. Don't let fear overtake the process, because we need to have hope and to be able to get past anything. After you breathe, I would not personally jump into a protocol. If a doctor says on Thursday we need to start chemo on Monday, I would not jump into that on Monday. You have a little bit of time because the cancer has been growing for a long time. But I would investigate. I would get a variety of opinions from a variety of experienced, sophisticated practitioners. They could be
second opinions. You have a set of 83 questions at the end of the book that you should ask, and those are some of the starting points. But one is for certain to get second opinions, because believe it or not, 30% of pathology diagnoses get reversed on second opinions. Keep going. I apologize for interrupting.
No problem. I would, regarding second opinions, it's important to go, to listen and ask questions. And that segues nicely into part three of the book, which has an abundance of questions, which are essentially a guide. So when you go talk to your doctor or several doctors, come armed with questions. You want to become empowered with knowledge, because you have a right to know what your future therapeutic process will be, what the results and outcomes have been historically when a certain avenue is pursued with particular cancers and therapies. It's important to ask about the effects of various treatments and therapies. So you want to be prepared, become knowledgeable about this whole process, and become a self-advocate to an extent, and not just be a lemming or a sheep.
And that's the key thing in keeping hope alive, is make sure you or your family becomes advocates and keeps hope alive. And that's fitting for the book, is Hope Never Dies. It's from Rick Shapiro, and the press is, I think it is a wonderful, wonderful read, and an important read. And you know, it's almost an important read before you get anything, and it's a fun read because of the optimism in it and the wonderful stories. Thanks very much, Rick, for Mr. Shapiro, I should say. So that everyone knows how to look at it. It's S-H-A-P-I-R-O, Hope Never Dies is the book. Thanks very much for appearing. And Randall, thanks great for engineering so well. And thank you for downloading us. Please do rate us. We'll be back next week with a new top medical news, and especially what it means for you, as well as a great guest, just like Mr. Shapiro, and Hope Never Dies. Thanks again.